ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I've often mentioned the time that I was in Mayapur and was asked to give the Chaitanya Charitamrita class in front of all the Bengali brahmacharis who mildly chuckled as I slaughtered their Bengali language. I feel equally embarrassed when I sit in front of someone like Dravida Prabhu and try and chant these long verses. He's forgotten more Sanskrit tunes than I'll ever know in this life. So, but by the blessings of Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, we meander on in these last four or five verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're all going to chant collectively today these two verses. We'll chant 18 and 19, and then I'll go back and read the translation. So then we'll do the Sadgosamastakam tune. Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Mamala. Everyone together, you didn't get that? Bhagavatam Puna Mama Malad Vaishnava Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekam Amalam Yanam Param Diyate Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkarmin Tapshivan Supatan Vicharana Paro Bhaktya. Kasmat. Yeah, we'll do both. Smayena Vibhasito Yamatulo Jnanam Pradipa Pura Adrupena Chanaradaya Munaye Krishnaya Tadrupinam Yogendraya Tatmanata Bhagavad Rataya Karuyatas Tatshudram Vimalam Vishokam Amritam Satyam Puram Dimahi. Translation, verse 18. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas. This Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work, together with the process of transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated. Poor report by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is completely free of contamination by the modes of nature, it is endowed with extraordinary spiritual beauty, and it is therefore dear to the pure devotees of the Lord. The word Paramahamsyam indicates that even completely liberated souls are eager to hear and narrate Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are trying to be liberated should faithfully serve this literature by hearing and reciting it with faith and devotion. Text 19. I meditate upon that pure and spotless supreme absolute truth, who is free from suffering and death, and who in the beginning personally revealed this incomparable torchlight of knowledge to Brahma. Brahma then spoke it to the sage Narada, who narrated it to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. Srila Vyasa revealed this Bhagavatam to the greatest of sages, Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami mercifully spoke it to Maharaj Parikit. It's purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam states, Satyam Param Dimahi. I meditate upon the supreme truth. And now, at the conclusion of this magnificent transcendental literature, The same auspicious sounds are vibrating. The words tad rupina, tad rupina, and tad atmana in this verse clearly indicate that Lord Krishna himself originally spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma and then continued to speak this literature through the agency of Narada Muni, Dvaipayana Vyas, Sukadev Goswami, and other great sages. In other words, whenever saintly persons vibrate Srimad Bhagavatam, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna himself is speaking the absolute truth through the agency of his pure representatives. Anyone who submissively hears this literature from the Lord's bona fide devotees transcends his conditioned state and becomes qualified to meditate upon the absolute truth and serve. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I found it interesting, the last three times I gave class, there was no purport, nothing. And today we have the disappearance day of Haridas Thakur, and so much to talk about, and two very, very glorious purports on two absolutely amazing verses. These verses both, particularly 18, but these two verses are the kind that we should print out and put, you know, on the door above our desk or at the entrance to our house or, you know, all the above places, because they so beautifully glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam and give amazing benediction to all those of us that are endeavoring to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is an important point, endeavoring to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktisiddhanta is known for famously saying the first section of Bhagavatam, first verse, to be studied for 1 month. Because there's so much information to be understood about this message being given. And the process, as it notes in these two verses, how it's given through the parampara, coming to our Srila Prabhupada and being given to us and persons of our caliber, some of us more or some of us less, being asked to speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam. But here's the thing. These two words in this verse 18, one who seriously and with devotion. So this has to be our mood when we approach Srimad Bhagavatam. We should seriously speak about the Bhagavatam with some intent of trying to share and understand. But we have to have devotion. Prabhupada so many times spoke about how we can't just be Bhagavad reciters. You know, you get paid something, you go and you speak something, you go away and do all kinds of nonsense habits. You know, there has to be some serious attempt to put some devotion into one's words. So somehow or another, Prabhupada has given us that ability. Somehow or another, we've been pushed in that direction and encouraged to continue to do so. This is the point, Nitya Bhagavata. Mentioned this many, many times, Nitya Bhagavata. This is a daily activity. This is a regular activity. This is an eternal activity to study Srimad Bhagavatam. I was listening to a lecture on the way in this morning, and Prabhupada, you know, the way Prabhupada structures a sentence is very telling. Prabhupada mentioned he was talking about men like animals, he said. Men like animals. Not animals. No, I mean, not...
Animal-like men.
What's that?
I think you're talking about animal-like men.
Animal-like men. Animal-like men. Yeah. No. Yeah, animal-like men. Not men that were behaving like animals, but animals that were assuming to be men, the way he structured that sentence. So not indicating that, oh, these are men, these are human beings, men, women, whatever. These are men, and they're behaving like animals. No, these are actually animals, but they're pretending to be human beings. So this is what happens when we don't study Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the plight. And we see this every day when we mix with the secular society, when we go about our business or our work or our shopping or whatever it is. We see so many things out there that show that these people have no understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. They have no ability. So, you know, we do have a great responsibility to share the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the second verse, we see the explanation of the different personalities who are incorporating the Bhagavatam into their life. And as Prabhupada says, the purport says here, in other words, whenever saintly persons vibrate the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna himself is speaking the absolute truth through the agency of his pure representatives. Anyone who submissively hears the literature from the Lord's bona fide devotee transcends conditioned state of life. Transcends the conditioned state. This is what we all want. This is what we're all hankering for, is to transcend this material suffering. Some of us are suffering more than others. Some of us are suffering less. We're all suffering. Don't be in any illusion about that. You know, we're suffering from the mind. We're suffering from the body. We're suffering from other living entities. Adiyatma, gadi bodhi, gadi daivik. All of these different types of sufferings are there. And we have some shelter in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. If we don't take that shelter, then that suffering simply continues. And we all have that opportunity of knowing those outside of the association of Vaishnavas. Where was that? Anyway, I caught that in there. But outside of the association of Vaishnavas, that they have no recourse. They have no relief from their suffering. Their relief from their suffering, I'm working with one individual and there's a lot of stress on this person, and a fellow worker said, yeah, I know that one goes home and hits the bottle every night just to get through. And this is their suffering. This is their shelter. They go home, they become completely inebriated, try to forget everything, and get up the next day and do it all over again. Well, as devotees, we have the opportunity of getting up each morning and Srimad Bhagavatam. They can't understand non-Vaishnavas, they can't understand how we get up regularly and study the Srimad Bhagavatam each day, how we hear from the message of Bhagavatam, how we worship the deity, how we engage in japa, how we engage in kirtan. First thing in the morning. Most of the people in this life, they barely roll out of bed, throw some clothes on, and go straight to the office or school or work or whatever it is they're doing. You know, there's no sadhana of any sort. Maybe some hot beverage and a piece of dry toast. But, you know, as devotees, we have these opportunities given to us by Srila Prabhupada to appreciate the Srimad Bhagavatam, to appreciate the pastimes of the devotees of the Lord, the great activities that these devotees have done. And such a devotee, we honor today with the appreciation of the life of Haridas Thakur. We've often heard, and it's sometimes hard for us to imagine, because we live in such a linear world, you know. I'm 10 years old, I'm 20 years old, I'm 40 years old, I'm 50 years old, whatever the case is. What to speak of, you know, oh, these associates of Mahaprabhu, yes, that was 500 years ago, you know. But the reality is, in universal time, we're practically in the same time frame. This kind of is a part of the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was speaking a little bit about this yesterday, that we're right there. If you look at universal time, the way it's broken up into the segments, I mean, there's not such a difference between when Lord Chaitanya was here with his Sankirtan party and when Srila Prabhupada has come and given us a Sankirtan party, spreading this throughout the West, engaging everyone in the process of Krishna consciousness worldwide. I was just sharing with Dharmaraj, I read something that the king of Arisa, King of Puri, has written a letter to ISKCON requesting that they please stop doing these Rathiyatras on days other than the bona fide Rathiyatra day. And I thought, this person has never been outside Puri and seen the joy on the face of drunken kids at Woodstock pulling the ropes of the cart, or the beachgoers in St. Augustine and Daytona and every other beach in the state of Florida engaging and pulling the ropes on this cart and joining the kirtan party. This is the mercy of a Vaishnava. This is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada to bring this. Prabhupada didn't have to leave Vrindavan to become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada was doing this to fulfill the order of his spiritual master, but for the benefit of us. So, you know, we have this opportunity to see the mercy of the associates of Mahaprabhu. Now, in many places, it's talked about the personalities, who they were in different leelas. Of course, the most famous is Gauranga Deepika Vaikavi Karnapur. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has also written one very nice book on the pastimes of describing who the personalities are. And it's understood from these different places how Haridasa Thakur was Lord Brahma. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives one very nice explanation of how it is that Lord Brahma became Haridasa Thakur, a so-called untouchable Muslim. So he mentions how when Krishna was in his Braj Lila pastimes, and he was herding the cows with the cowherd boys, and Brahma decided, oh, I'm going to test this cowherd boy that everybody's talking so much about him, and see what can be done. So we all know the story. He stole the cows, he stole the calves, and he hid them for what he thought was just a moment. Actually, it was a year, because here again, that universal time is different in different places. So that year later in Braj Lila time, not in his time, just a short time, when he returned, he was astonished. He said, Krishna was still there, all the cows were still there, all the boys were still there, everything was still there. And he understood the mistake he had made. So he began to regret this rash action, if you will. And he fell down at Krishna's feet and he begged mercy from him. And Krishna responded by revealing his divine options to him. And he said that in Dwarpa Yuga, I ascend as Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. In Kali Yuga, I will ascend as Gauranga, taking on the bodily luster of Radharani to display magnanimous pastimes of devotion for the Lord. So you will get to join me in those pastimes. Well, Brahma was a little concerned. Yeah, I'll come there and I'll make the same offense I made here. You know, I mean, he was Lord Brahma, head of our Sampradaya, very intelligent and understanding that, oh, I made this mistake once, there's every chance I can make it again. And I don't want to, you know, engage like this, you know. So the Lord understood the mind of him. He said, no, because during this pastime of mine in Navadvip, you'll be born into the family of Malachas, but you'll preach the glories of the holy name, and as a result of this preaching, you'll bring auspiciousness to all living entities. So, yes, you'll take part in my pastimes again, but to keep you humble, you'll take a very low birth. But in that very low birth, you'll do great service for all personalities. So this description gave the framework for how Haridasa Thakur's pastimes would manifest themselves. As we know, Vaishnavas, they appear in any family, any class, any segment of society. And Mahaprabhu wished to show that even someone born of a very low circumstance can become the best of persons, the topmost of human beings. And so in this way, Haridasa Thakur did indeed take his birth into this Muslim family that had no real social standing, no position or anything of that nature. But he was able to take shelter of the holy name of the Lord and as a result become known as the Namacharya. He appeared just before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was an associate of Advaita Acharya. And he was actually 35, 36 years older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so during that time, he would associate somewhat with Nityananda, but mostly with Advaita Acharya. And at the time of Mahaprabhu's appearance, there was a great jubilation from Advaita Acharya and Haridasa. They understood that the Lord has come. Haridasa Thakur spent part of his time staying in the home, the residential area of Advaita Acharya. We'll go into that in a little bit, where he lived and all of that. But, at any rate, he knew of the Lord's coming through his association with Advaita Acharya, and as a result knew that the initiation at the beginning of the Yuga Dharma, of the process of chanting Hare Krishna, would soon come about. Haridasa Thakur was not without his enemies. Sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations where there's great challenges placed on us, trying to understand how is that. But we see all throughout the pastimes of the great devotees of the Lord, this is going on. So at one point, this was happening. There was one prostitute, Lakshahira. And after Haridas Thakur left home initially, and he was living in the jungle, very peacefully engaged in chanting and different devotional activities like that. And so he was worshiping one Tulsi Devi, living very simple, chanting the holy name. And he would go from one house to another begging some alms. And the people in the local area, they all spoke of his spotless character. What a staunch Brahmin activity he was performing, what staunch devotional principles he was following, even though this wasn't from his family. And as a result, they offered him great respects. Now, at this time, he was not very fond of Vaishnavas, let's just say. He was an atheist, Ramchandra Khan. He was a very large landowner, very influential overseer in the area. He became very jealous of Haridas Thakur's position. This is the nature of the materialist. When they see others being honored, they don't think, oh, let me also honor this person. Let me also give respect. No, they think, oh, let me cause some trouble here. Why is this person giving me honor? That should come to me. So, to this end, he devised many different tactics to show flaws in the character. Sometimes Prabhupada's disciples, when they would approach him, they would also, many devotees had told this, I was looking to see where is the fault in Srila Prabhupada, and no one could find that fault. So at any rate, he called a group of prostitutes together. I mean, I guess he had some contacts, if he could get a group of prostitutes together. And so he asked for a volunteer to go and distract Haridas Thakur. None of them would do. No, he's a sadhu, we're not going to. But there was one who agreed that she would do it. Matter of fact, I will be successful in 3 days' time. So Ramchandra Khan, he engaged her in this mission. Now, he thought, I will send an army, and then when Haridas Thakur submits to you, then I'll have him arrested. But she said, no. You let me take care of things in my own manner. And, so I'll arrange, and then I'll let you know, and then you can arrest him in that way, because they wanted to show him to be a charlatan. So that night, of course, she dressed as, let's just say, as a prostitute might dress, and went to Haridas Thakur's hut. And, of course, what did she do when she arrived? She offered obeisance to the Tulsi plant outside of Haridas Thakur's hut. This was the first mistake of her plan, or the first step in her redemption, the first mistake of her plan. She worshiped the Tulsi plant. We recite that verse each morning simply by circumambulating Tulsi. Even if you've killed a Brahmin, all of your sins are removed. What to speak of if you were thinking, oh, I'm going to seduce a sadhu, make him fall down and have some, like that. So at any rate, she offered her obeisances to the Tulsi plant. This was the upbringing she had had and seen in her village and all like that. So then she stood outside of the hut of Haridas and began flirting. This is the nature of a prostitute. They have some business to exchange, so they try to seduce different persons. Oh, you're very, very handsome. You're in the full bloom of youth. What woman can resist a person such as you? Now, I've come here because I am filled with desire for you. So if I don't get to have your intimate association, I will kill myself. So she's saying like this. Now, usually it's the other way around. The so-called customer is anxious for the association of the prostitute. But here, she was presenting herself in this way. So Haridas Thakur said, yes, all right. I just started chanting my japa. So I have a set number of rounds to finish. So you just sit down, and when I'm finished, then I'll attend to what you're needs are. Now, this is the interesting play on words, as I was mentioning that sentence of Srila Prabhupada's, I will attend to your needs. She's thinking, yes, my needs are to cause you to have some relationship. He's thinking your needs are to become Krishna conscious. So, kept chanting, as we know, Haridas would chant all throughout the night. Next day arrived. So first day, she said she'd do it first. So first day was fair. So she returned to Ramchandra Khan, became impatient, left, and told the whole story. But don't worry, I'll go again tonight and do it. So of course, we know the progression of this story. Second night, same thing. Oh, yes, I'll fulfill your needs. Yes. Again, all through the night chanting. And becoming a little drowsy and not paying attention and like that, you know. And probably just this evening I'll complete this vow I've taken. So as soon as it's over, then I can fulfill your needs. No success for her. Third night again, she approached, offered obeisances. Each night she did this, offering obeisances to the Tulsi plant. Offered obeisances and continued to hear him chant. And as she listened for that third night to the chanting from the lips of the pure devotee of the Lord, her heart became changed. Now, some might think, oh, that's kind of, you know, far-fetched. You know, she's a prostitute and just by hearing the holy name. But look at all of us. Simply by hearing the words of Srila Prabhupada, hearing the Maha Mantra from Srila Prabhupada, look how our lives have changed. We may not have been professional prostitutes, but we were certainly engaged in all the activities that are associated with that lifestyle. And somehow or another, our hearts became changed because of the pure message of Srila Prabhupada. Excuse me. So she revealed her plan. Her heart became changed. She revealed that she had been sent, what the evil intentions of Ramchandra Khan were, and begged for forgiveness, begged to be delivered. And Haridas said, yes, I know all this. This isn't news to me. This is another of the glories of a Vaishnava. They can understand everything. And he said, this is not news to me. I could have left on that first night, but I wanted to deliver you. So I've stayed here for 3 days. So he instructed her to give up all of her money that she had earned through this dubious profession and give it in charity to the Brahmins. And then come and live in this hut that he was going to vacate and worship the Tulsi plant each day and chant the holy names of the Lord throughout the day. So giving in charity to the Brahmins, worshiping Tulsi Devi, and chanting the holy names. These are the three activities. Very simple. Oh, you want to get delivered? Okay, first you go and you go to the Himalayas and to one glacier and you bathe there. Then you go to this holy place and No, just you sit here, you chant Harinam, you worship Tulsi, giving charity to the Brahmins. It's such a simple process. So she did all this. She gave her riches away. And she dressed in just a simple single piece of cloth and lived there and began to chant the holy names very nicely. And in this way, within her heart, with her senses being conquered, with her senses being purified within her heart, love for Krishna began to manifest. So she became a very celebrated devotee, a great Vaishnavi. And many other Vaishnavas would come and sit with her and chant and hear her chanting and, you know, associate with her, bring offerings to her like this. So in this way, we see that even one can go from the lowest stage of life by associating with the personality of a great Vaishnava, one can be delivered. So speaking of being delivered, what happened to this Ramchandra Khan? I mean, after all, he didn't like Vaishnavas. He was fearful of... We see this in the demigods a lot. This is always mentioned in the different pastimes of the Bhagavatam, how Indra sends this dancing girl to entice this sage and, you know, so on like that. So Ramchandra Khan was concerned about the reputation of Haridas Thakur becoming more prominent, and he didn't like Vaishnavas anyway, and so all of these things he arranged. So a Vaishnava, of course, doesn't take offense to anyone. This is a quality some of us can work on. and doesn't take offense to anyone, doesn't even consider themselves to be a Vaishnava, so how could you be offending me? I'm a Vaishnava. No, I'm actually not even a Vaishnava, so what offense is there? He accepts whatever sufferings come and just, you know, places them on his head. This is due to all my sinful activities in the past. I can't blame anyone for my sufferings except myself. But because of that attitude, because of that process of thinking, the devotee becomes very dear to the Lord. The Lord doesn't let any offense go for long. He doesn't take offense himself. The devotee doesn't take offense himself. But when the Lord sees someone offending his devotee, then he takes offense on behalf of that devotee. So the results of these offenses may come to the person offering them immediately, or they may be a little delayed, but they are inevitable. If you offend a Vaishnava, sooner or later it's going to catch up with you. So, in the case of Ramchandra Khan, the seeds that he had sown for committing these offenses grew into a full tree. But that tree bore an interesting fruit. And that fruit was when Nityananda Prabhu came to his home to deliver him in his pastimes there. Nityananda was perfectly aware of the track record, if you will, of Ramchandra Khan. And he had come to his home in a mood of anger because he was going to punish him. But, of course, we know Nityananda is very, very merciful. He delivered Jagai and Madhai when Mahaprabhu was going to cut off their heads with the Sudarshan Chakra. So, as a result of this offense to Haridas Thakur, Ramchandra had become even more demoniac due to the building of this offense. And in receiving Nityananda, he was unable to give even the smallest molecule of respect to Nityananda and his companions. Matter of fact, he said, "Oh, you've come, you need some place to stay. There's a barn over there, you can just sleep with the cows and the other animals." Now, of course, Nityananda is the eternal cowherd boy. Sleeping with the cows is maybe quite enjoyable to him, but in this particular sense, this was an offense. You're a big, big king, you've got a palace, and great saintly person comes, yeah, you go stay in the barn with the animals. So Nityananda decided, no, this place isn't even fit for me to stay. So he left. In due course of time, a tax collector came from the police to collect the overdue taxes that Ramchandra Khan had been hoarding. One of the activities of these district managers, if you will, or magistrates or mini-kings, was they would collect taxes, keep some percentage of themselves, and then give the rest to the bigger king. So he had not done this. He had been keeping, you know. So the tax collector came. There was some great disagreement between them, and they took the wealth of the family, but the family itself made them prisoners, looted the entire house and village of all of its, and as a result, in this way, every benefit that Ramchandra Khan was enjoying fell in one swoop, just by that offense to a devotee. So we can understand from this that, of course, we may not be offending devotees in the way of Ramchandra sending prostitutes to cause them to fall down and whatever, making them stay in barns in our back shed or something. But we should be very cautious about offending Vaishnavas. This is something that we see in the modern age. It was also here during the time of Mahaprabhu, very prolific. But we see in the modern age that this activity is there of offending Vaishnavas. One spends any amount of time unchecked on the internet, one can see so many offenses to devotees. And these offenses will cause us great difficulty. So we should be very cautious about this. Even if a great soul is insulted, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, anyone who is responsible for that insult will have to bear the result of it. Life will be destroyed. So in this way, we can learn this lesson from this pastime. There was one other devotee in the past, Samsaphayadas Thakur, very well known for his offense. This is the thing. As Bhaktivinoda points out, Haridas would be born in this low family to keep him humble. What's one other way Krishna sometimes keeps us humble? By constantly having people speak badly of us, commit offenses to us if we're looking at it from a different perspective, but cause difficulty for us. So there was this one devotee, Gopal Chakravarti. Now, the family priest, Haridas Thakur, stayed with was Balaramacharya. And he had a small hut. Here again, he always lived very simply. He stayed in a small hut there and would take food at the home of Balaramacharya's house. He would bring prasad for him. And Raghunath Das Goswami at the time was a very young boy, and he would come to visit Haridas Thakur in this situation. Of course, later he became Raghunath Das Goswami and got Mahaprabhu's direct association. But his uncles, Hiranya and Govardhan, would regularly arrange for discussions in their home of Srimad Bhagavatam. They would organize, you know, we see this a lot. This is one of the wonderful beauties and wealth of this community. At any night of the week, practically, you can go to someone's house and there's some type of katha going on. This one's reading from Nectar Devotion. This house, they're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I just heard there's a new reading that started up with Brihat Bhagavatam Rita. They have a morning classes. So there's these opportunities, you know, for hearing. So Balaramacharya brought Haridas Thakur to one such gathering. And there was Govardhan's father was there, and when he heard the introduction and glorification of Haridas, he was very impressed. Very nice. So while there was a discussion of the different scriptures, the different scholars and senior devotees that were there began to speak on the subject matter of the glories of the holy name. One of the pundits said, the holy name, it can destroy all sins. Another one said, yes, yes, the holy name, though, it can also give liberation. So this is the purpose of chanting. They were pointing to get liberation and be free from sins. Haridas Thakur said, the main result of the chanting of the holy name is that one develops love for the lotus feet of Krishna. And that the destruction of sins and the awarding of liberation, these are secondary things that are not so important to the person who's chanting. You know, one of the offenses against the holy name is to have these types of material desires. Get me free from sins, you know, to get the liberation like that. So Haridas gave the following example. He said, just like in the morning when the sun comes up, he said, the darkness is dissipated, and so is the fear of ghosts and demons and thieves, because these types of persons, they associate their activities with the night. He says, but when the full rising of the sun comes, one can then set about doing all their daily duties very nicely. He said, similarly, one who has experienced the full manifestation of the holy name, the sins are automatically destroyed. They automatically become liberated. This isn't something they seek out. Now, different people heard this statement of Haridas Thakur. One of them was his Gopal Chakravarti. Gopal Chakravarti was had two things, depending on your particular angle, going for him or going against him. One was that he was very handsome. Usually people that are very handsome are very aware that they're very handsome. And he was a very learned scholar. So he was very handsome and he was a very learned scholar. And he had a job working for a Muslim as a tax collector. So when he heard that Haridas is saying even the simplest shadow of Harinam could bring liberation, he became very angry. He said, my fellow scholars, you can just see, like in our modern day, someone stands up in the House of Commons, makes a bigger, you know. So he said, these are the statements of a sentimentalist. After millions of births of practicing knowledge, one may not attain liberation. But this fellow, indicating Haridas Thakur, he said, so simply by a glimpse of the holy name and its chanting, one gets that result of liberation. Haridas Thakur simply smiled. He said the pleasure of liberation is insignificant compared to to the ecstasy of devotion from the chanting of the holy name. Just a shadow of that devotion, just a shadow of that holy name will easily give one liberation. And Gopal Chakravarti became even angrier. Haridas, he challenged him. He pointed at him. Don't point at someone like that. He pointed at him. He said, Haridas must swear that if one is not liberated by Nambas, then he shall cut off his nose. This is a pretty grievous statement to make. Oh, Haridas, no trouble agreeing. He said, yeah. All right, sure. If one doesn't get ecstasy from chanting, I'll cut my nose off. The rest of the audience knew the line's been crossed here. The rest of the audience knew the line's been crossed here. This isn't right. And, you know, Haridas is a great, respected spiritual personality, and Gopal has completely breached all etiquette and has disrespected him. Hiranya and Govardhan, the father and uncle, they rebuked him very strongly, and Balaramacharya also chastised him. Imagine you've invited this group of devotees to your home, and you've invited a senior guest, and then one of the people you've invited begins to offend him, you're going to throw that person out. I'm sorry, this is my house, you leave. So this is what Balaramacharya did. He chastised him. He said, you're foolish. You're simply some kind of logician. You think you know something of devotion? Devotion? You've insulted Haridas Thakur. Nothing positive will ever come of these words you have uttered. As a matter of fact, because of this offense, you will be ruined. And all the other members of this assembly, they fell at Haridas' feet and begged, please, please forgive this. Don't pay any attention to him. We beg you, please, you know, don't take any of him. And Haridas said, there's no fault here. This Brahmin, he's ignorant. He's addicted to arguing, logic. One cannot understand the glories of the holy name simply through logic. May the Lord bless all of you. Do not worry about me. I am not offended. So they ostracized Gopal Chakravarti. They threw him out of the society. No one would let him come into their home. Prabhu, I thought I might stop by. No, you're not welcome at my house. Oh, Prabhu, I thought maybe I could come over for lunch. No, you're not welcome. Nobody would have him. He had really done the whole deal here. So, of course, as I mentioned in the beginning of this pastime, Haridas never took any offense at this, but the Lord took offense. The Lord does not take it lightly when we blaspheme Vaishnavas. So he punished him. Within 3 days, he contracted leprosy. And his very prominent, beautiful, sesame flower-like nose is described one of the qualities of great personalities. They have a nose like a sesame. Have any of you ever seen a sesame flower? I grew some one time just to see. I took some sesame. Oh, that's what it looks like. It's quite nice, actually. Quite cute to look at. So his beautiful, handsome face, adorned with a sesame flower-like nose, melted off. This is what leprosy does. It distorts the features, all kinds of... Ugh, horrible. And... everybody became terrified of associating because leprosy is known, whether true or not, I don't know the medical side of it, but it's known for being very infects others. So those that have leprosy are generally in colonies by themselves and things like that. So he was reduced to living just, you know, on the side of the road somewhere. So in this way, we should take another advice and lesson from here, that no good can come from offending Vaishnavas, as is exemplified by this pastime of Haridas Thakur. So after that, Haridas Thakur left that region where he was, and this is when he moved to the home of Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya was even older than Haridas Thakur. And I mentioned Haridas Thakur was about 35, 36 years older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Advaitacharya was 17 years older than Haridas Thakur. So these are senior members of the Vaishnava community there. So, of course, Advaitacharya had great respect for Haridas Thakur. And he performed the Shraddha ceremony one time. And after the Shraddha ceremony, the first plate of prasadam is given to a respected guest. And so Haridas Thakur took this and gave it to Advaitacharya took it and gave it to Haridas Thakur. So the Brahmins in the community, they all objected to this. How it is you're giving to this Haridas? He's from a Malecha family. Haridas himself objected to this. He said, no, I shouldn't. This is the quality of a humble Vaishnava. This is the quality of a humble Vaishnava, is they don't want any praise, any glorification, any prominence. Prabhupada describes in one lecture that there are 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. He says, the first one that Prabhupada mentions in this particular lecture is kavi, one is a poet. And the second one he mentions is humble. So a Vaishnava doesn't think, oh, I want to. And then he says, Prabhupada says, you can understand how you're becoming advanced or not by how many of these qualities you develop. So Haridas Thakur was very humble. He said, no, you shouldn't give them. I'm not the appropriate one to take this. Advaitacharya said, no. He said, if you accept this prasadam, it's equivalent to my feeding thousands of Vaishnavas. So in this way, Advaitacharya was also shown by example how to properly honor Vaishnava. Now, Haridas would take his meals, midday meal, regularly at the home of Advaitacharya. And Krishnadas Kaviraj explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how this happened even prior to the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, that this was a regular association they were having. During this time, Advaitacharya began to consider how the world can be saved. Of course, their version of the world at that time may have been smaller than what we see it as now due to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. But he began to think, how is it that the living entities who are suffering can be saved? So in this way, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains he thought about praying for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Haridas Thakur was a part of that process. And they were both together when it became clear to them that Mahaprabhu had made his appearance into this world. I've got to be at work, but I'm never on time anyway. So, Vrindavan Das Thakur gives a nice explanation of the time that, it tells the pastime when Haridas Thakur was arrested by the local magistrate. He knew that Haridas had been born into a Muslim family and that he was showing a taste for the holy name, which is considered to be a Hindu practice, taking up the process of Vaishnavism. So the complaint was taken all the way to the Nawab, who suggested, he's transgressing the laws of religious etiquette, so he should be punished for this. So the order was given for the officers to arrest Haridas Thakur. Now, the other prisoners in the prison he was thrown into, they already knew the glories of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur's glories were spread far and wide. And they were, on one hand feeling sorry that Haridas Thakur had been thrown into prison, but on the other hand thinking, what is our good fortune? We're getting to share a jail cell with Haridas Thakur. We're going to make great benefit. But Haridas Thakur, and as a result, they were petitioning on his behalf to have him released. But Haridas Thakur told them, he said, we're better off to be in jail together chanting the holy name than to be released and engaged in so many different activities of karma. So Haridas gave them a blessing, which, depending on your particular point of view, the prisoners found not to be such a nice blessing. He said, I don't mean to say that you should remain prisoners, but you should forget sense gratification and you should chant the Hare Krishna mantra. This is the meaning of my blessing. Do not be sad for a moment on the count of my blessing. So somehow or another, in the association of Haridas Thakur in that jail, the prisoners all became free from the entanglements of material life and simply engaged in concentrating on chanting the holy name. Sometimes, not to this degree, of course, but sometimes in the early days of the movement, different devotees, we would get arrested and thrown into jail for performing the Harinam Sankirtan or book distribution or whatever. And many of those times, the devotees would just have kirtan in the jail. And many of those times, the police said, okay, just go, please. Stop this chanting and get out of here. So different things like that. So after some time, the Nawab brought Haridas Thakur before him for judgment. And he asked him, why have you abandoned the pure religion of Islam to embrace this practice of Hinduism? Haridas Thakur answered, he said, God is one. The same God is present in every religion. He is the non-dual absolute truth. In the different religions, he simply has different names. But on the absolute plane, there is no distinction. The same God sits in the heart of every single living entity and engages each one of them in his service in a variety of ways. One worships him this way, or in that way, according to his own indication. There are Hindu Brahmins who convert to Islam. In this way, I was born in an Islam faith and converted to the practicing of chanting Hare Krishna. The living being has no independence in such matters. If this is a fault, then you please punish me. So again, we see the humility of Haridas Thakur. Yes, of course, Eddie, it's the right thing to do. Who are you? No, all right, if I've done something wrong, you punish me. That's okay. And the Nawab challenged him back. He said, you know, chanting the names of God as they are found in your religion, in your own religion you were born with, and stop practicing the religion of other people. If you don't do this, I promise you, I'll give you very severe punishment. Haridas said with very, very strict conviction, very strong conviction. He said, you may cut my body into pieces, and my life may leave me, but I will never abandon the holy name, which will be on my tongue, and I will always continue to chant. If we can only have this much conviction for the Harinam. So the Nawab could understand the determination of Haridas Thakur to continue chanting, and that it was not going to be broken, that he was very fixed. And so he was asked, well, what should we do with this Haridas? So he said, he's going to be severe punishment for him so that no other Muslims will convert. They will all be afraid to. You take him to the 22 main marketplaces in the district and you flog him in each marketplace until he is dead. So dragging him as a chained prisoner to the first marketplace, dragging him to the second, all like this to the 22 main marketplaces. If after being beaten in these 22 marketplaces, he is still alive, then we'll know that he has some spiritual potency and what he says is true. What a demon. Maybe what you say is true, but we'll try to kill you, and if you live, then we'll know it's true. So the Nawab gave the order. The soldiers, they took Haridas, and they beat him in every marketplace. It mentions that it was not just beating, it was a cruel flogging with canes. Canes meaning like bamboo sticks. I don't know if any of you ever been hit with a bamboo stick. You know, we do this Balaram thing for the kids, and they get a stick and they swing at the pinatas. I think it was the very first year I organized that, I was a little too close and I caught a whip of that stick on the shoulder. Oh, it hurt like anything. This was just a little kid. These soldiers are beating him mercilessly. Even so, Haridas didn't die. Just as Prahlad Maharaj was protected by Sri Krishna through all the difficulties he had, the Lord also protected Haridas Thakur, and he didn't die. And at the end, the soldiers saw that he wasn't dying, and they began to cry, please, if we take you back to the Nawab, he's going to torture us. It'd be so much better for us if you just die. I just said, oh, are you going to be dead? Okay. Throw my body in the water. course, downstream, and he was saved, and they went back. An interesting thing about this pastime, sometime later when Mahaprabhu was showing all of his different Mahaprakash activities and revealing different things to devotees, he revealed to Haridas Thakur that the reason Haridas Thakur was able to live through this circumstance was the beatings that he was taking on his back when impacted on Mahaprabhu's own body. And he showed him all the marks on his back where each time Haridas had been beaten, it come to him. So in this way, we can see that if the devotee is dedicated to the Harinam, is dedicated to the service of the Lord, then in all circumstances, the Lord will protect him. I mean, after all, this is the very beginning instruction we have from Bhagavad Gita, that if we just surrender to Krishna, whatever we have, he carries, and whatever we lack, he provides. So in this way, we can appreciate this pastime of Haridas Thakur is instructive to us in so many ways. Instructive to us as to how to overcome the challenges when Maya presents itself to us. Instructive to us in how to be careful about not offending Vaishnavas. Instructive to us about the conviction we should have in the glories of the holy name. And instructive to us that if we have that conviction, the Lord himself will be our salvation, be our deliverer. So there are many more pages of pastimes, but we're going to finish here. Class is a little long, and I have to rush off to other obligations to sell washing machines. So thank you very much for listening about Haridas Thakur. I encourage all of you, there are so many places in our literatures where you can read more about Haridas Thakur. We should spend the day imbibing his mood and trying to speak about his pastimes. Si Haridas Thakur ki jai, Namacharya Haridas Thakur ki jai, Vaishnavacharya's ki jai, go to Premanandi.